This show is called Murderous Man Makes Millions on Moon Base and Magnificent Moscow. This show is called Murderous Man Makes Millions on Moon Base and Magnificent Moscow. This show is called Murderous Man Makes Millions on Moon Base and Magnificent Moscow.
Is sub-monikered Looking for None Except Me and 70 Million Others. We are going to discuss dream logic, surrealism, and the unconscious mind. We're also going to have a look at how ghosts have impacted on the destructive forces of imperialism, overview of the tragic comedy form of the modern professional off-duty rugby player.
This show is called Murderous Man Makes Millions on Moon Base and Magnificent Moscow. This show is called Murderous Man Makes Millions on Moon Base and Magnificent Moscow. This show is called Murderous Man Makes Millions on Moon Base and Magnificent Moscow. This show is called Murderous Man Makes Millions on Moon Base and Magnificent Moscow. This show is called Murderous Man Makes Millions on Moon Base and Magnificent Moscow. This show is called Murderous Man Makes Millions on Moon Base and Magnificent Moscow.
I'm never mind. Yankee, Hotel, Foxtrot.
And now?
Yankee, Hotel. Foxtrot.
He's taking his pants off.
Yankee. Hotel.
Hold on.
Foxtrot. Yankee.
She's almost finished
with her
makeup.
Foxtrot.
She's burning herself.
Yankee.
She's studying her body.
Foxtrot.
She's rubbing her breasts.
Hotel. Foxtrot. Yankee.
How are her breasts?
Hotel.
Hard.
Foxtrot.
Small. Like mine.
Yankee. Hotel. Foxtrot. Yankee. Hotel. Foxtrot.
Soft white skin.
Yankee. Hotel.
Foxtrot.
What's he doing now, Walter?
Hotel. Foxtrot. Yankee. Hotel. Foxtrot. Yankee.
He's pulling her
Hotel.
Panties off.
Hotel. Foxtrot. Yankee. Hotel.
His hands are wandering over her body.
Oh, yes.
Group.
Join.
One.
Yes. Go on,
zero.
Group.
One, zero,
six,
six.
As dark as you are.
Zambia, Emma, Sierra, Victor.
She doesn't want to.
Zambia.
Now he's turning her around. Oh my God, she's got a fantastic ass.
Hotel.
Nice and lovely redheads.
Foxtrot.
Now he's pushing her down on the bed.
Oh, yes.
Zambia. He's kissing her breasts.
Emma, Zambia, Zulu. Zambia, Tango, Uniform, Mike, Echo, Hotel, Oscar, Bravo, Zulu, Victor, India, Foxtrot, Delta, Alpha, Mike, Juliet, Hotel, India,
Voices of unknown origin appearing on radio frequencies were first noticed in Scandinavia by the military in the 30s and were put down at the time as secret Nazi transmitters.
Don't touch me, son.
But the voices spoke in unknown and mixed tongues, and after the war, no records of secret Nazi transmissions ever came to light. The voices didn't stop. After the war, the girl of
the
transmission precluded study. That is, until the tape recorder came into common use in the 50s. A group of radio hands in Chicago studied the strange transmissions, male and female voices speaking in polyglot mode and lyrical tones, but it was not until 1959 that a Russian-born Swedish citizen, radio and TV producer and filmmaker, Friedrich Jones, noticed intrusions and commenced his own systematic study. A disturbing fact soon emerged. The voices zeroed in onto the Swede, addressing him by name, revealing a knowledge of his thoughts and actions, and claiming to be the voices of deceased friends and acquaintances. The news spread rapidly, and soon experimenters and scientists all over the world were attempting to duplicate Jurgensen's work. Prominent among them was the Latvian psychologist Konstantin Raudiva. The effect on parapsychologists was traumatic. Accustomed to investigating the blind forces of the poltergeist and endless and somewhat boring card and dice guessing experiments, they were confronted at once with living voices, which answered back. Speech being a mark of intelligence and a highly structured artifact. Taken by surprise, the British parapsychologists, without conducting experiments, rejected the objectivity of the voices, explaining them as breakthrough from taxis, police messages, or simply mechanical noises in the tape recorder. But their European counterparts were more cautious, and possibly with greater technical resources, they soon found out that they were indeed confronted with voices of unknown origin on tape, voices which were human-like, but exhibiting odd characteristics, like constructing a sentence from the elements of one or more languages, impinging on a regular broadcast, and by a strange process of metamorphosis, twisting the words of the speaker to suit their purposes and messages. The utterances were strangely lyrical and musical, but compressed and truncated. Rigorous economy with words and the free use of coined words was common, the so-called neologisms. But like all paranormal phenomena, the voices came and went unpredictably. If the investigator probed too closely as to their source, it seemed as though they broke contact and left him stranded. This is known as the decline effect in psychical research. It is as though there are barriers and constraints against full contact and confrontation. It may be argued that a study of the voices on tape of non-human origin contributes nothing to our survival biologically, and that our sensory apparatus needs to be closely focused on material affairs to ensure our economic and planetary survival. The voices may be a mutant development of some remote corner of the subconscious mind, or a transient byproduct of the electromagnetic pollution which now rings our planet and presses outward into space. Or then again, the voices may herald the first tentative contact with intelligences from a parallel world, who, occasionally, when conditions are right, and at the interface between two separate realities, reach out to us, manipulating electronic apparatus and energies in ways at present unknown to us, studying our languages, probing our minds, presenting us, in many cases, with what we want to hear, or what they imagine we expect to hear. Between 1973 and 1977, I was situated in a so-called window area, an area in a city with a high electromagnetic flux. Nearby, a mass X-ray center, a radio hotspot, and utilizing an ordinary receiver tuned to the aircraft band, I was able to record, when atmospheric conditions were favorable, male and female voices of unknown origin, which occasionally addressed me by name. It has also been suggested that the radio receiver in use suffered from RF breakthrough, allowing foreign material to bypass the tuned circuits. All in all, a highly complex combination of factors, which unfortunately changed, but then allowed brief contact with another reality. That contact has now ceased. But then my attention is directed once more to mundane activities. My profession, politics and science, hi-fi and wine, women and song. No wonder a silvery female voice breaking through onto the airband sang in German, "We are from another world, but you've cut us out." Maybe one day the contact will be renewed, but let there be no mistake. The validity and objectivity of the paranormal voices doesn't depend on Jurgensen, Konstantin Raudiva, or myself, for there are now hundreds of voice experimenters worldwide, and the mysterious voices have been recorded from Siberia to Scunthorpe and are stored in digital form in databanks in the West and in the Soviet Union. As I prepare this tape, some of my own examples are being processed at a U.S. Air Force base in Texas and have been fed into a computer of the Western Alliance in the Ruhr. We stand at the threshold of new discoveries, and a breakthrough may occur at any time. Some say we are not yet ready for the contact. Worldwide presentation of
Thank you. Thank you. This is Raymond Cass. I've called this section of the tape Alien Voices because the utterances have a harsh, robotic, and rather stern character. There is no longer disputing the fact that the voices exist objectively on tape, but their origin is still obscure. My voices are clear and dramatic, but worldwide experimenters are picking up thousands of voices, many purporting were the voices of the dead. I have many of these, plus one outstanding example of an entity still in a body of flesh. Listening to the voices to follow, one has an immediate impression of an alien intervention, as though their advanced technology was contributing to the opening of a window between two existences. The Scottish astronomer Duncan Looney postulated the existence of alien probes already parked in the solar system and lying dormant in waiting until the turn of the century, when terrestrial radio transmissions would activate their sensors. And this alerted the alien intelligence to the emergence of earthly beings, ourselves, of rather belligerent and warlike character. A leading American scientist, Professor Deardorff, rejected the concept of an unbridgeable gulf between the stars and the Earth, and he also postulated the concept of aliens already in our system, and probing and contacting selected individuals in tentative forays as a prelude to a more general contact, while seeking to disarm governments and authorities who would like to suppress the contact. The controversy still raging over the Roswell incident and the almost certain cover-up by governments is an indication of the explosive character of these alien interventions. Here's a harsh voice in answer to an unspoken query of mine regarding a long negative period in which no voices were received for several months. "Dead machines," proclaims a voice. "Were the parked probes in need of a battery recharge? Were they ticking away inactively, pending a new phase as part of a revised alien strategy. This male voice is unequivocal, decisive, unearthly. Here it is.
Death machine. 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 Death machine.
Six, four, one, five, seven, six, four, one, six, four, two, Thank you. Now only $2.70.